January 21st, and Representatives Copeland, Boucher, Ellis, and Donnelly. And the first matter on today's agenda is House Bill 340. Prime sponsor is here. Representative Davis, you want to join us and explain your bill?
Excuse me for keeping you waiting.
For the record, my name is Mike Davis, District 19. You have before you House Bill 340, and the reason I introduced this bill was concerned by some of the volunteer organizations in Fairbanks about the fact that they may be vulnerable to lawsuits stemming from their activities. Let me just go briefly through the bill and speak a little to the bill. Ordinary citizens, of course, are protected under emergency situations by liability by the Good Samaritan Act, which is AS 0965090, and then paramedics and EMTs are also protected. There is some concern that volunteer organizations such as National Ski Patrol, Civil Air Patrol, mountain rescue groups, and other volunteers that are working with policemen on first aid may not be protected. And for that reason, we drafted the bill. The Good Samaritan Act has ruled, and it's been some time ago, but it's ruled that that the Good Samaritan Act does not protect those that have a pre-existing obligation to assist individuals in danger. And this, as I said earlier, some people feel, and the volunteer organizations feel, that they may fall under this category. What this bill would do then would be protect these volunteers and their organization from liability for their good faith efforts to attempt to aid those in danger. These people are still going to be, they're still liable for gross negligence and other incidences like that. That isn't a change in the law at all. I do also have an amendment which would clarify what a volunteer is, and I don't know if you have a copy of that in your packet. I want to also point out in your packet, I guess you don't have it in the packet. I also want to just point out that this legislation is supported by public safety, by health and social services. There is a number of organizations that have indicated their support also for the legislation. I believe there's a number of people here also from volunteer organizations that would like to testify. I'd be glad to answer any questions that the committee has.
Thank you, Representative Davis. Are there questions, Representative Boucher?
About Civil Air Patrol.
Right. They're ones that are potentially at risk.
Are they out?
Right. All the volunteer organizations.
Okay.
Do you want to just, if there are no further questions, do you want to join us here at the table? And then if there's anyone else that wishes to testify, I only have two members of the public signed up so far. Mr. Kinney, the Civil Air Patrol, would you like to move forward?
Okay, I asked the right question for you.
Could you just state your name and who you represent for the record?
My name is John Kinney. I'm the commander of the Southeast Squadron of Civil Air Patrol based in Jumel. I'll be very brief. I'm here simply to support the bill. The members of the Civil Air Patrol are always happy to give up their time for search and rescue missions. There are, I don't know how many members throughout Alaska, there must be probably 700-800 at least. There are 85 members in the Southeast Squadron here in Juneau. Members are happy to give up their time for search and rescue work. They're happy to use their own private aircraft. By the nature of search and rescue work, it's usually done in inclement weather conditions. Occasionally a private aircraft is lost. That's the risk that a member takes. There's no reimbursement for the loss of that aircraft. Nevertheless, the members are happy to use their aircraft for search and rescue. A couple of years ago, one of our members was returning from a search in Yakutat, crashed into the side of a mountain. He was uninjured, but he suffered a total loss of his aircraft, and besides that, he had to pay to have in a helicopter haul the worthless wreckage out of Glacier Bay National Monument because it couldn't remain there. This is all at members' own costs. To add the fear of liability on top of that is be nice to avoid, and I think this bill helps all the members to rest a little assured when they're performing a public safety like this. So I urge the support and passage of this bill.
Thank you, Representative Boucher.
Do your insurance costs, are they pretty high too, because you engage in search and rescue work?
Most private pilots in Alaska do not carry haul insurance on their aircraft. It is simply so expensive, very few private pilots can afford to carry it. Most carry liability insurance for personal injury and property damage to other to the property of others, but our own aircraft are not insured.
To the chair, do I understand your person was on a search and rescue mission? Was that a total loss of his aircraft? It wasn't insurance? There was no insurance coverage?
That's correct.
And no workers' comp coverage in this
case? Any further questions for the witness? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Bruce Kruger? How about reading this?
That's right. My name is Bruce Kruger, and I am also a staff officer for the Civil Air Patrol here locally. I'm a volunteer firefighter in Juneau and an emergency medical technician. And I'd like to recognize my support and to echo Mr. Kenny's comments and point out also that it seems that, and there are other folks here from the fire service, so I can focus my comments on the Civil Air Patrol. It seems that oftentimes when we're called for a search, it's in the worst of weather, and we seem to be put into a situation that's a little more risk than the average pilot wants to fly in. And I echo Mr. Kinney's sentiments of putting your own equipment on the line in a lot of this kind of work. And liability, what it is, the Civil Air Patrol has us sign off on waivers and that sort of thing that protects them out of necessity. It seems like if this goes too far, it discourages people from this sort of activity, and I'd like to not see that happen.
Okay. Questions for the witness? Thank you for your testimony. Any further members of the public here to testify on this legislation? Seeing none, discussion. I have a...
just want to comment that Mr. Hind is here from the legal department. If there's some questions on the legal drafting related to the amendment also.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. That's great. Representative Boucher, did you have a question?
Yes, the purpose of the amendment, sir.
Okay, purpose of the amendment is, Representative Boucher, is to just to clarify what a volunteer is. There are some volunteers that been told work for a small amount of money, maybe $5 or $10 in a run or whatever. This would just, if there is some remuneration, at least a small amount of remuneration, that they would still be qualified as a volunteer even if they do make $10 per run.
I'd like to, could you please take a seat for that question? I just want to make sure you're on the microphone. Sorry, could you just state your name for the record?
I'm Ed Hine with Legislative Affairs Legal Services.
Okay, Mr. Hine, my question was on the amendment. If, I was just curious how it relates to the rest of the bill. If an individual was, say, hired for 1 week for $500 pay for that week to perform one of the functions that's identified, an emergency service function, but that was the only week they worked in the year, would they be exempt? Would they still fall under this act, or would they not be considered a volunteer?
Mr. Chairman, they'd still be a volunteer, as long as that was the only money they received, other than reimbursement for expenses during the year for those services, they would still qualify. It says no, the only time limit is the whole year.
Okay.
Of course, that I guess that raises the question, at what point you determine whether someone's a volunteer or not. I guess a person determines for himself. And if they anticipate that they're going to make more than that per year, maybe they will forego the extra money in order to retain this kind of immunity. But it would be something I would assume that a volunteer would know at the time that they're performing the service.
You don't have any suggestion on how to drive the economy between those types of people, do you? I don't know if that's a problem. It just occurs to me that if somebody was hired on a short-term basis, is really a professional, not a volunteer, they still fall under this definition as a volunteer. And I don't know if that's what we're trying to do or not.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if it's a problem, perhaps some of the volunteer organizations have a solution. We could draft this in a number of ways, and of course the figure is more or less arbitrary. The figure of $500 a year comes from a federal model. This whole kind of definition, there's a bill in Congress now relating to hazardous recreational activities, and that's where the concept came from, or this kind of definition. We do have another section in the statutes in the same general area for I believe it's aircraft maintenance that's done on a volunteer basis. A volunteer is someone who receives no compensation whatsoever for that service. And, you know, you could define this any number of ways. It's really a question of finding something that suits the purposes of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, the reason that this was offered was because of a concern that was expressed to me, and perhaps Frank could sort of, you know, maybe address that concern. But a concern that someone that, as I said before, was a volunteer that got $5 or $10 for gas and maybe cleaning expenses of his clothes, like for example, a volunteer fireman, would he then not be qualified as a volunteer? And so that's why we put a small dollar figure here. It's certainly possible that this amendment wouldn't be needed, and we could just say a volunteer is a volunteer, and the fact that someone gets a few dollars for those kinds of expenses doesn't disqualify them as a volunteer. Or not. Maybe you want to address that.
So, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, volunteer fire departments, for example, are organized in various ways. Some of them are connected with municipalities and villages, others are not, others are independent organizations. There already exists in statute a limited immunity for volunteer firemen who are connected with municipalities. But if they're independent, then they would need something on the order of this bill in order to qualify. Now, I happen to know that at least some firemen I know here in Juneau on a volunteer basis are volunteer firemen. I believe they make $5 a call. I really don't know, you know, how much they would make over a period of a year. But without some definition or some idea of what a volunteer is, then there is, you create an ambiguity, it seems to me. And perhaps that leaves, it just raises another question and still leaves a lot of these people uncertain as to what their liability is.
Okay. There's certainly no problem. I don't have any concern about actual expenses or even things that are trying to be as a goal actual expenses. So, you know, $5, if they just, you know, if they were billing it as an expense stipend or something, then I would think that would be a wage. I don't even think it depends on it. I mean, it depends on the status of it. I'm not sure. But if there was a way to clarify that, that would sure... I wouldn't have any question at all. Maybe it's something that's... The only, like I said, the only scenario that even worries me is that if somebody who's paid, a professional who's paid for one day to go perform one of these functions seems to fall under this definition. If they were to do this just one time, and I don't know if you want to do that, if that's the idea you want to pursue. So there's no problem with the expenses. It's just that it's just a threshold. If you're going to put a threshold in there, there is a proposal. Staff has a proposal. Maybe I could just ask the sponsor how he feels about it. I don't want to hold this up at all today. I'd like to move it on to judiciary if that's where it's going to go. But if I just would be wondering what Representative Davis, your thinkings would be about this. If in this section, volunteer means a person who receives no financial consideration other than reimbursement for expenses actually incurred for providing medical services, emergency services. That might be a simple way to do it.
Except it sounds like then the Juneau Volunteer Fire Department wouldn't qualify because they get just a straight $5. It's not remuneration. It's not strictly that. Is that correct?
They get a salary of $5.
I don't know how it's accounted for, what they classify. I just know that's the figure. I don't even know.
Well, how about the $10 a day or a total of $500,000?
That's a staff just suggested that we go to possibly maybe something that's no more than a certain amount per day or more than so much in a year. That would take care of that problem. I'm just thinking that there may be somebody you want to go out and pay, like maybe it's somebody who's in the business of has a small aircraft, and they're professional, they're holding themselves out to this responsibility, and you go to them and hire them, maybe it's a one-day rescue effort, and they say, I want $400 to do this for one day, and they're holding themselves out to do this job. If we had a provision of no more than a certain amount per day or per week, and then would the sponsor have a problem with doing something like that?
No, like I said, the reason I brought this up in the first place was because of a concern. I just don't know how what kind of language to use to satisfy the concern.
What about
the ski patrol? That's more than $5. Ski patrol, a lot of times, will get a lift ticket for him and his family or whatever, so that's that's going to be more than $5 a day, you know. And obviously, the ski patrolman, he's going to be on the slopes anyway.
You can get away by mentioning his cash.
Yeah, but we did limit this to financial consideration. Any other in-kind contributions they get are not counted toward this, so,
good.
You know.
Let me throw this out to the committee, see what you think. I'm sorry for being so informal here, but it seems like... if we simply say volunteer means a person who receives financial consideration of not more than $50 a day or $500 a year, that would certainly, you know, would only people who would be making quite a bit of money during the day would fall into that. And it would certainly take care of almost, I can think, volunteers' expenses in that.
Mr. Chairman, just from my limited experience on this, I don't think that $50 a day, I just don't think that we should put something like $50 a day. I'm sure there's a few people out there who would like to be making $50 a day right now. And I don't think you want those people to consider a volunteer. So, I don't know. I don't have to qualify yet. Do you have any...
Mr. Chairman, I think it's really a factual question more than a legal one. We can fashion whatever kind of arrangement you want to put in there. I have not discussed the matter with any of the volunteer organizations. I do know, however, from the materials I have seen, that various organizations, the Ski Patrol, for example, I'm told, has some paid members and some volunteer members, and whether they work together or not, or whether the paid members are the people who actually go out and volunteer or not, I don't know. And how much they're paid, I don't know either. So what the appropriate figure is really a factual question that if you're going to put in a figure and you want to feel comfortable with it, it seems to me you ought to have some research on it.
Okay, just to let you know, I was trying to think of a number high enough that it'd be safe.
Mr. Chairman, the only person that
group that I know of that gets any money is, would be, like I said, I haven't researched that extensively, but I know some volunteer organizations in Fairbanks get paid for gas, but would be the Juno organization, which is $5 a day. So I think if you put a ceiling on it of no more than $10 a day or $500 a year, I think you're probably, as far as I know, you're gonna catch them all, you know. And if we can do some research and find out if we're gonna leave somebody out on that and change it, but that's I would be more comfortable with a $10 figure than a $50 figure.
That's fine with me. I was just trying to think of a number high enough that it didn't preclude anybody that we might want to be in. Representative Copeland?
Rather than talking about the particular amendment, I'm a co-sponsor of this bill, as I was of the 1986 amendment. And my experience with this goes back to the time when Mike and I were both EMTs and volunteer firemen with Tina Goldstream. And we got an Attorney General's opinion that was based on the 1971 suit that's cited here that held that a police officer having a pre-existing duty to rescue is liable for their action. Now, the police officer is a professional who's been trained and is under discipline of the state. Nevertheless, that particular Assistant Attorney General, who's no longer around, held that that extended it to everybody. However, the law 095090 was amended in 1976, a long time ago, to induce voluntary rescue by removing the fear of potential liability, and that's the site right in the statute as it exists. That a person at a hospital or any other location who renders emergency care or emergency counsel to injured, ill, or emotionally distraught person who reasonably appears to the person rendering aid to be in immediate need of emergency aid in order to avoid serious harm or death. Serious harm was added in, I think, 76 when we lobbied for that. There was still some fear that in case of an EMT who renders some measure of emergency medical aid, medicine being more potent than magical, somehow generates more lawsuits. So in 81 we amended 1808086 to extend the injury, the danger to serious harm, because the original one said the danger of death, and I didn't get into an argument on that one, and made other minor changes. And I co-sponsored this bill because I really would like to see this put to rest finally. But I still don't quite understand why this Attorney General's opinion still hangs over emergency rescue, volunteer emergency rescue people, especially since the law's concerns have been amended three times to try to deal with this. This would be the fourth attempt to amend the bill yet further. And if that's necessary, that's fine. But Mr. Heiner, you can explain to me why that threat still exists. I realize that the last time we amended the law was strictly in regard to EMTs, was a much more crucial question at that point and didn't speak to air rescue or anything. But we thought, we were told at that time by legal that or any other location covered everything else. But if, why do we still hold people at risk when we have written both 1808083 and 0965090 to attempt to deal with that 1981 ruling?
I guess the best way I could say that is a couple of points. One is that those two statutes, there's one relating to paramedics and one relating to physician-trained EMTs, I believe, are specific to those two groups. In addition, the Good Samaritan Act, which is a statute that's being amended in this bill.
And this was amended in 76, to attempt to deal with that.
Well, as I read the law and as it's been presented to me as well, the only case that we have from the Alaska Supreme Court, which shed light on this is the Lee case with regard to the pre-existing duty. That's the only case I have seen which spells out who has a pre-existing duty in Alaska. And so there is still a question as to who does and who does not. I think you could, by analogy, say that certain kinds of groups do, but the problem, as it's been presented to me, is that groups like the Ski Patrol, Civil Air Patrol, and others are uncertain as to what their liability would be. It's not that the court has said clearly that they are not covered under this, but the case hasn't been brought with regard to them. So that I think basically it's an attempt to clarify for the purposes of these organizations where they stand, and to in fact make sure that they do have the immunity from suit, or at least for simple negligence.
Even though the legal discussion says the amended section, the purpose of the section is to induce voluntary rescue by removing a fear of potential liability, which acts as an impediment to such rescue, that's already, that's just like the record to reflect that we are just trying to, brass bottom nail down and cast and run the immunity that we've been trying to arrive at through roughly 10 years of amendments.
As a former volunteer fireman, I can certainly appreciate that.
Just one other point, and that is, it seems to me at least that the Good Samaritan Act was enacted not only here but in other places in the country as well, envisioning a situation where there would be an accident scene and your average citizen would come upon it. And whether the average citizen happened to be a doctor or have any kind of expertise or not, the idea behind the law was to encourage people to stop and help, just as in the Good Samaritan story. However, the courts have said that, as Representative Kelvin pointed out, that there are some occupations and some people who are assumed that they're going to do this regardless of the Good Samaritan law or not. And these agencies or people who have a pre-existing duty presumably are people who a person who is injured would look to for a rescue, would expect to come to his aid or her aid if they're in trouble. But the parameters of that are not clear at all in my mind.
I think at this point the chair would entertain a motion from a member of the committee to amend the bill before us to state basically what's lined out there in Representative Davis's proposed amendment, only to insert between the words than 500, $10 a day in a total of not more than.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, so the $500 would be the upper limit?
Right. Is anyone on the committee willing to make a motion to that effect? Thank you, Representative Boucher.
The record reflects that cash payment rather than any in kind, such as gasoline or supplies.
It should still reflect, I think that's. And that's the testimony from the drafters, too.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me. Is the statement $500 a year or $500 a day?
No, it's the motion that's before us now is page 1, line 9, delete a new subsection, new subsections. Page 1, after line 19, insert paragraph B. In this section, volunteer means a person who receives financial consideration of not more than $10 a day, and a total of not more than $500 a year, not including reimbursement for expenses actually incurred for providing emergency services.
Why is it necessary to define the volunteer in terms of monetary? I'm sure you might have covered this, but just...
It was a discussion before you, right, Representative Furness. So record should reflect we've been joined by Representative Furness and Representative Davidson, by the way. Representative Davis, would you like to address Representative Furness?
Just briefly, why should we do it in terms of monetary?
Representative Furness, for the chair, that was pointed out to us that in this
discussions that there need to be some clarification of just what a volunteer is. And there's certain volunteers, for example, the ones here at Juneau, they're volunteer firemen, but they do get $5 a run. So that we want to make sure that people that receive a small amount of money remuneration are still qualified as volunteers. So that's why some other people may be on a ski patrol. They may get $5 for showing up that day or something, but that certainly isn't paid for their time. So we wanted to put some clarification just what a volunteer was. So that's the reason for this.
All right. There's a motion before us. The motion is to adopt the amendment as I read into the record. Any further discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing that the motion passes, the amendment is adopted. Is there any further discussion on the bill as amended? Are there any further members of the public to come forward and testify? Seeing none?
I move that the bill move out of committee with individual recommendation.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection. Motion passes. Thank you, Representative Davis. Thank you very much.
As amended.
Committee substitute. It'll be in the form of a committee substitute. Well, gentlemen, at 3 o'clock we reconvene in the Senate Finance Room for the second installment of the